as we enter into a new year that, to our disappointment, looks very much like the year we were hoping to leave behind. Whilst there was much to be grateful for in 2020, and the year was not just one great write-off, I think we were all hoping to enter into 2021 free from the grip of this global pandemic. And yet here we are, in the midst of a second wave that is even more severe than the first. The question we may ask ourselves or one another is, what is God doing through this? Or perhaps, where is God in all of this? Why is God allowing this to happen? Or when will God bring it to an end? This question of what is God doing through this, or what is God's will, is one that has been asked throughout human history and is not new or only applicable to the coronavirus pandemic. We see in Scripture countless men and women wondering what on earth God is doing. But God in the Bible has one overarching plan which acts as a thread throughout Scripture that ties it all together. It started in the garden with the blessing of man, with God creating us in His image to generously share His good will with us. God's desire is to live in perfect harmony of relationship with mankind, for mankind to live in perfect harmony of relationship with one another and with His good will. His plan is for us to be His image bearers, His hands and feet, to care for and look after His good will and His people. God commits to this blessing in spite of the first act of human rebellion in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve decide not to trust God, but to put themselves in the place of God. God again commits Himself to this promise through Noah, when human rebellion and wickedness had reached an all-time high. And when this previous height of human rebellion and wickedness had been surpassed by humanity at the Tower of Babel, when humanity tried to elevate themselves to the position of God, God again committed Himself to this promise of a blessing through Abraham and his family. The promise God gives Abraham in Genesis 12, which is an echo of the promise God gives humanity in the garden, is the key hinge story of God's commitment to bless His faithless humans in spite of our rebellion. That promise in Genesis 12 reads from verse 2. This is God speaking. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and anyone who curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The key text I want to focus on there is that final line. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The rest of the scriptures may be summarized as God faithfully working out that promise to bless all peoples on earth and restore that original garden blessing of Eden. Abraham's family form the bloodline of Jesus, through whom this promise is ultimately fulfilled. Jesus announces the arrival of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has come as the ultimate fulfillment of God's overarching plan to restore His kingdom on earth. That is why Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God's overarching will may be described as the redemption, renewal, restoration, and reconciliation of all things. This is fulfilled in Jesus. And Scripture concludes with this picture in Revelation, a beautiful image of a new heaven and a new earth with Eden restored and Jesus in His rightful position as King and Lord over all. This is wonderful, but this is not what our world looks like right now. The questions we've been asking as we've entered this year of what is God doing or what is God's will is because it is not easy to comprehend this picture of God's will and purpose for heaven to be restored on earth when we consider what is happening in our world at the moment. I'd like to address this tension in two parts. Firstly, we need to ask whether God is both willing and able to restore heaven on earth, what I have titled God's part. We see His commitment to this plan throughout Scripture, of God partnering with humans to restore His original design of blessing on earth. After God gives the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 that this blessing to all earth will come through him, Abraham messes up quite badly, and yet God reaffirms His promise to Abraham. God then reaffirms His promise to Abraham's son Isaac, to Isaac's son Jacob, who becomes Israel, and then to every generation of Israelites thereafter. God commits to his promise through generations, despite every generation of Israel and all of humanity for that matter, being faithless in response to God. God in his faithfulness never forsakes the promise made to bless all nations through this dysfunctional, faithless family. And when no Israelite is found to be that faithful covenant partner of God through whom he can bless all the world, God himself comes in the form of Jesus to be that faithful human through whom all humans are blessed. And God does this in a surprising way by taking all the sin and rebellion of man from generation to generation, from beginning to end, on himself. Jesus' death on the cross was, as Paul puts it in Colossians 1, verse 20, God's way of reconciling to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross. Not only this, but through Jesus' resurrection, the power of sin and death was defeated. And so God was faithful to fulfill his promise in that through Jesus, all people on earth would be blessed by being reconciled to God and being granted to his eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that in Jesus, God has unequivocally proven himself both willing and able to fulfill his promise to bless all peoples and restore heaven on earth. God in Jesus has shown himself faithful. Numbers 23 verse 19 puts it this way. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Our confidence in the face of adversity is in God's unchanging character, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That throughout scripture, God has remained faithful to his promise and that he will bring to completion that which he has promised. Our faith is not built on burying our heads in the sand, pretending everything is perfect and blindly living in faith. Our faith is built on the confidence of the unchanging character of our God, looking back at the faithfulness of God so that we may look into our future with confidence, knowing that God will remain faithful. Hebrews 6 describes it as such from verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, God backed it all away, putting his own reputation on the line. God said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them so that if there is any question that they'll make good on their promise, that authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock solid guarantee. God cannot break his word. And because his word cannot change, his promise likewise is unchangeable. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It is an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us. God is faithful to his word and will fulfill his promise to the world. I said earlier that there are two parts to addressing the tension and answering the question of what is God doing when we compare the picture of God's will and purpose to restore heaven on earth with what is happening in our world today. The first part was God's part, whether God was both willing and able to do so. Scripture unequivocally concludes that God is both willing and able, and in fact has faithfully fulfilled his promise in Jesus. The second part then is our part. God's original design for his good world was that we, his image-bearing humans, would partner with him in caring for and looking after his good world and all his people. Even after we had rebelled, God still chose to work out his plan to bless all the world through humans. And all throughout the scriptures, God was using a people in order to be a blessing to all the world. And when no human was found faithful, God did not abandon humanity. Instead, he bound himself to humanity in Jesus and became that faithful human. Through Jesus' death, our old, rebellious, faithless selves have been put to death. And through his resurrection, we have been birthed to new life. We are new creations in Christ. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. A beautiful scripture telling us that we are new creations in Christ, reconciled to God through Jesus' death and resurrection, and now given the ministry of reconciliation. When we look at the Bible, we see that God brings about his will and purpose on earth through his people. We are his people, carrying his ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, when we look at our situation and our world around us and we ask, what is God doing? And what is God going to do about this situation? What we really should ask is, what are God's people doing to bring about God's will and purpose? What are we doing? Our role is to be his image bearers, bringing about God's will and purpose on earth, to be a blessing to all peoples on earth. We don't do this alone. God has proven himself faithful that we may trust in him to work through us. As the scripture says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells also within us. How do we do this? How do we represent God? Well, Jesus taught us that this is how everyone will know that you are his disciples, if we love one another. God has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. God is working through us to reconcile the world to himself and to one another. In amongst the great uncertainty that has been this last year, our natural instinct for self-preservation kicks in. Instead of trusting God's proven faithfulness, we trust our own wisdom, choosing to do things our own way, leading to a cycle of anxiety, stress, fear, selfishness, and destruction. But Jesus teaches us not to worry or be anxious, but instead to trust in God's proven faithfulness. When we trust God, we are able to imitate Jesus, who knew that God is always willing and able to redeem, renew, restore, and reconcile all things. Jesus lived his life in such a way that showed he trusted that God was faithful to fulfill his promise. And so Jesus' life was characterized by sacrificially giving of himself, always putting the needs of others above his own. This is what it means to carry the ministry of reconciliation, that God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. We have confidence that God has faithfully fulfilled his promise, and that he chooses, to partner with us through Jesus to bring about the redemption, restoration, renewal, and reconciliation of all things. When we ask, what are we as God's people doing in response to our surroundings? Let us consider areas in our lives or those around us that are hurting and broken, that require restoration and renewal. Let us consider whether there are any relationships in our lives in which we can imitate Christ by initiating reconciliation. Let us consider areas in our society plagued by injustice that we may actively bring about justice. Let us consider how we might participate in bringing about unity amongst all God's people. As God loves us, let us love others. As God has reconciled us to himself through Christ, let us carry the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile all people to God. Let us consider what our lives and our world would look like if we trusted God's character and his word, if we did just what was possible in restoring heaven to earth and trusted God with what seems impossible, if we did the mundane and trusted God with the miraculous. As we enter into this year, my prayer for us is that we will do so with the confidence that our God is faithful. May we remind ourselves and one another of his faithfulness, which was ultimately fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And may we be inspired to be the faithful covenant partners of God that we are called to be in Christ, so we can bring about the restoration of his kingdom and of heaven on earth, reconciling all things to God in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have shown yourself to be faithful throughout scripture. And as scripture says in 2 Timothy, even when we are faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. We thank you that through Jesus, your promises of old have been fulfilled, and that you are working out the reconciliation of all things to yourself through Jesus. We thank you that you have committed to us the message of reconciliation. We thank you for the privilege of partnering with you in restoring the kingdom of heaven to your good world. Father, we thank you for your Spirit that enables us to boldly live in faith, so that as Jesus taught us, we may love one another as we love ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others. Jesus, we place our trust in you, and in your trustworthy name we pray. Amen.